the storm, my help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always, always. Darkness around me, chaos abounding. My soul will rest in You. I will not feel the war.
Morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's stand on up and worship this morning.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke Your name into the night. And through the darkness, Your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The word work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. His grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Come on.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. His grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Oh, go, God, you.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn.
till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my truth till I met you.
What did you do?
And you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know.
The old made new.
The old made new. Jesus, when I met you.
Oh, what a day.
When you called my name. To your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day.
I never want to go back.
my old life. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Than ever before, I need you more. I need you, Lord. The sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Become more aware of your presence. us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
I need you more.
I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Before I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. I need you more.
More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord.
God, we just praise you and thank you that your presence is here with us and that we can just experience that presence. And so, Lord, at this time, we just ask your Holy Spirit move in our lives, that, God, we just become more aware of your presence and your goodness, and that, God, we recognize that we need you more than we did yesterday, more than today, and that you are God, and we give you praise in your mighty name. And everybody says amen. I'm going to ask that you all have a seat today rather than leave. Go ahead and have a seat.
All right, before I get started, look, I got this. I want to make sure. I got to turn myself on back here. Hold on. Hello, hello. Ladies and gentlemen, can you hear me? I know Chris does, okay. All right, so again, we recognize that there's a lot of feelings about viruses and diseases, right? Anybody heard anything like that? Just making sure you know, all right. So we're going to take as many precautions we understand if people opt out not to participate in this because of the world we're in. But we're going to continue on with what Jesus wants us to do, and then it's all good. We won't say, that person didn't get communion. They think it's coronavirus communion, okay? But we're going to go ahead and just worship the Lord continually here. We're reminded on the night in which he gave himself up for us that Jesus went ahead and he took the bread. And when he took the bread, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat from this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, one of the many cups within the communion service. Back then, it would have been the Seder meal. One of the many cups was, they had several different cups. But many scholars believe at this time, the cup was the cup of redemption. And so Jesus once again took the cup. He gave thanks to God, and he began to pass it around. Used the liturgy and the language that had been there, besides a little blip from the time of Moses when he said, "Blessed are you, Lord God, Creator, Ruler, Sovereign of the universe, that gives us fruit of the vine that we may drink." He began to pass that around to his disciples, and this time he changed it. He said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this and drink this in remembrance of me." And so one of the things that we recognize, most people, most scholars believe that when the bread was taken and when it was broken, it's kind of interesting because there's a part in the Seder meal called the Africa Men. And when that is broken, it's more of a matzah and it's hidden away, and the youngest one goes to look for it. And it's no mistake that Jesus had just told them that he was going to suffer and die and be crucified, and then pretty much hidden away for 3 days. But then again, he would come out with power and might. and still to this day bears the scars for the sins of the world. And so what we recognize in remembrance of Christ's mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with that offering for us. As we recognize this great mystery of faith that Christ has died, that Christ has risen, and thankfully, come any day, Lord Jesus, Christ will come again, right? You excited about that? Wouldn't you love to not even have an election this year? Jesus just comes back? Hallelujah. That'd be awesome, all right? I don't know about you. That just would be awesome. We wouldn't have to watch anything. It would be great. All right, so there's something said for a divine monarchy. I'm just telling you. His name is Jesus, okay? So, but with that, we recognize that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we pray for that day. Now, when it comes to communion, people say, what do I got to do? Okay, I'm going to tell you. You don't have to be sinless. Everybody go, whew. Okay, cover your mouth with that because people are nervous, all right? But just go, you know what I mean? Because guess what? Everybody sitting in this room, everybody who's walked the face of the earth except for one person has sin in their lives. We all have, it just means miss the mark of God, okay? So all of us have missed the mark that God has intended for our lives except for Jesus himself. And so is there other people in your life you don't get along with very well? If you don't have any of them, follow me. I got a long list I'll give to you of people that don't tend to mesh very well in my life. And then you got to deal with Jesus. We got to deal with Jesus. Our new series is Who is Jesus? And guess what? Pretty soon on magazines, on the television, all these things, the closer we get to Easter, you're going to have a lot of people telling you who Jesus is. And I'd rather just go ahead to the source of the people that knew him to tell us who Jesus is. And that's what we're going to spend the next several weeks doing. And so we all have to deal with that, those questions. And so, hey, if you're not sure about that, maybe this is an act that God says, you say, hey, I want to meet you here. And so somehow the presence of Christ meets us in this avenue. I'm going to ask the worship team, and I'm going to ask the servers to come. We're going to go ahead and receive this. We're going to go ahead And so just so you know, we're going to go ahead. You're going to come from the back down this way. Those of you who want to, you'll receive some of the body of our Lord, and you can put it in. Please don't use it as a time to do palm olive and dip your fingers in there, okay? So don't do that. But just go ahead and just go ahead. Focus on God. It's not a time to say, hey, good to see you. It's a time that we just want to see Jesus. And so go ahead and receive that. And then for those who need gluten-free, it's here. So this side will come, the back down this way, the back down through this way, and the back down through that way around. There's also a time for offering, so we're going to pray that God goes ahead and multiplies that. If you're visiting with us today, we do not expect you to give in the offering. We just want you to receive communion. You're our guest, and we're glad that you're here. So we just are thankful that you're here. We believe God brought you here for a reason, and it has little to do with us and all to do with Him. So just come receive them. Yes, they have gone ahead, and the servers have gone ahead and used soap and everything, so we washed them down really good. But just come down as you're led to the Lord. If you need to pray, feel free to do so. Whatever you need to do to connect with Jesus during this time, just do that and let Him connect Himself to your heart as we continue. So during that time, we'll be singing some songs that you can worship with, and just want you to go ahead and just connect with the presence of God. All right? So please come as you're led.
Found in you. And what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
And as people have received and shared communion, may God just bring us and make those who are many one. And may we be for the world the body of Christ, truly the body of Christ, so that they can be healed, because the world truly needs Jesus. Amen. All right, at this time, we're going to go ahead and transition. Our kids can go ahead to our Haven Kids Sunday School, and everybody else, you're going to stay here, but just say hello to one another, and you don't have to breathe on them too much.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
Today's scripture will be from 1 Corinthians 2, 1-12 from the Message. You remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, everyone. We are going to continue today with our service, and we're going to begin by lifting up some prayer requests. A couple things. If you're here and you didn't get a prayer request in, feel free to do that. You can also do that online. I also want to say, several of you received a card, or you've seen the announcements, that we now have a way to get things by text. It's really awesome, and it reminds you, and things are right there. So go ahead, you can hit that. I think there's cards if you didn't receive them coming in. Make sure you get one of those when you head out, and you can stay connected in text. We have that information down below, how you can join that text list. For prayers that we do and we have received right here, we have prayers for all those who are sick, which are so many right now, and prayers also for Liz and Gary Ashby. Liz has greeted so many people here and really kind of helps lead that ministry, and I know Gary has been struggling over the last several years, and so just continue to be with her and with him. Also prayers, Joanna Shea asked for prayers for Joanne's grandbaby, who's having surgery for the feeding tube this week. Is that Harper? Okay, yes. Yeah, so we want to lift her in your prayers as well. And also, Holly Kipp asked for prayers for her to find full-time elsewhere as a co, and also to help her find full-time work elsewhere. And also, a co-worker is battling cancer, and let's pray that she beats that. And we have so many people who are battling all these kinds of diseases and every kind of other thing. So, and then we want to keep the major things that are publicized, people with the flu and with you know, the coronavirus, which everybody, and so many people who just seem to struggle and pass away every day, and those who deal with those losses. Let's continue to lift everyone up in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer if we can right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We want to lift up the many names of several people. For people who are looking for jobs like Holly, Lord, continue to open the door for them and give them the job and career that they so need. For those who are struggling with any kinds of cancers or diseases, God, we know that you have the say on all of us, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit be upon all those people who are struggling with those. Prayers for, particularly for little Harper, who's having surgery this week, we just ask for you continue to bring your Holy Spirit to her and to the doctors in that room. And for everyone who's sick, and for those who are just loved so much by us, early members of our church, and just God, this time of life has just brought some struggles, and so we ask for your Holy Spirit to strengthen Liz and to also be with Gary, as God, we know that he loves you, and they all do, they both do, and so Lord, just be a very, very visible presence in their lives and the lives of so many others. For all the things, we do give you praise, and we thank you for who you are. As we spend some time leading up to Easter talking about who is Jesus, and Lord, I pray that we get more clarity on who you are, but most importantly, not about you, but in relationship with you. And for this and all things, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Good job. Couple things. Again, welcome to anybody who's visiting with us. We just want you to relax and have a good time, kick back and enjoy and have what God has for you. Couple things. Our youth group, you can see when they are meeting, I check that you go ahead and see that. They're going to visit Singerly Manor next week, and then they had a pool party coming up on the 22nd after church, so you want to look at those kind of things. We do have a very active Stephen Ministry group here, so if you are in need, please go ahead and let us know that. We'll be glad to put you in contact. And also, we have an ongoing group of Grief Share that meets on Monday evenings, and so we want to continue to let you know if anybody is struggling with that, it meets right here, and we would love to have you connect there. You can reach out to anybody in the Stephen Ministry, as you can see the Stephen Ministry at havenscc.org, and we'd be glad to connect you there. We will serve at Parish Foundation again next week, and then again, I mentioned about staying connected through text. We also have been supporters of Miriam's Table, and some of you know some of the story about the Kiefers who went on a mission trip into the Congo, and God touched their lives and opened a door where a little girl whose parents passed away, they adopted her, Miriam, right? And she has been here with us. And so what we are doing to help raise money. This is probably one if not the most giving church I've ever been part of, and you guys continually meet needs that are amazing here and around the world. And so we have these little bread banks that are out in the back, which I used to call love loaves, but whatever you want to call them, doesn't matter. You can put change or whatever thing you want in there if you feel like taking that, and it'll go to help support Miriam's Table. So I just wanted to show you, this is an update of Miriam's Table. Let's look at this video clip really quickly.
Every city soaring tower, empty people live in darkness, every minute, every hour. Hear the cry of desperation from a billion broken hearts, with a need so great, where do we even start? Let it start with me. Open up my eyes, fill my heart with your compassion, free my use my hands to set the captive free. Move my feet to follow after you, or change the world and let it start with me. There's a place for everyone. I don't want to miss my mission in the plan that you've begun. You have promised to go with me to the edges of it all. I change everything that keeps me from your call. Let it start with me.
Several of you saw the lady there, Susie. They will be with us. Is it the 22nd? On the 22nd. So I look forward to having them with us. All right. Here we go. You guys ready? Everybody ready? Okay, just making sure. Okay, so we are starting a new series. Like I said, it is called Who is Jesus? And I always like getting into series, particularly, can you believe that we're making a trek toward Easter? It's hard to believe, isn't it? But here we are. Our theme verse, which you'll get tired of seeing by the end of this series, starts here, and it starts, Benjamin read it for us today. Let's look at it again from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches or the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First, Jesus, who he is, and then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified." So this is what we're going to do. A lot of times, I think, in the midst of church, in the midst of religion, we complicate things. We go ahead and we add, a faith. Religions have been all about, oh, here's Jesus in Christianity. Here's Jesus, here's God, and let me add my other stuff on there. And what we're going to do today is we are just going to, and for the next several weeks, we're just going to base off this verse. We're going to keep it simple, and we're going to talk about first Jesus and who he is, and second Jesus and what he did, so we can cut through it all and get to the important part. Sound good? That's what I got for the next couple weeks. If you don't like it, tough. All right, but that's what we're going to do, who Jesus is. And today we're going to focus on who Jesus is, and we're going to talk about Jesus is my BFF. Everybody say BFF. Yeah. There you go. Now, one of the things I started thinking about is growing up, and even today, like, I have friends, and they get nicknames, right? I don't know if this is a female thing, but guys tend to do this. You know, like, for instance, when you play sports, they add a Y at the end of it. We'd go, Jackie! Go, Jackie! Right? Anybody with me? Okay. So you do that kind of stuff. Or you add a stir at the end. Way to go, Jackster! All the ladies are like, what? You know, the guys are like, yeah, okay. Correct? Am I right in this kind of thing? You ever done this? And so I went ahead and I started thinking about nicknames. For instance, I don't have time to do it right now, but my phone even has a nickname for me. No, you don't want to hear it? You going to hear it? Okay, here we go. All right, let's try this. Ready? Hey, Siri. She didn't want to talk to me now, okay? Maybe she wasn't. Hey, Siri. See, she didn't want to talk to me. No, I don't have it on silent, Danny. Stop it, okay? Hey, Siri. What's my name?
You're Jack, but you asked me to call you Big Sexy.
There you go. All right. She's a liar. That's what she just calls me. All right, so... So we have nicknames, and I started looking. I asked people about certain nicknames. So let's look at these nicknames. One person said her dad called her chicken poop because of her freckles. Another person said when I was pregnant, my aunt asked what she wanted mom to have, and they said Elmo. So that name stuck because that was her favorite toy. One person said he was really good at football, and they called him Thumper. Another person said Bunky because I used to spend the night at my babysitter's all the time. One person said Buckwheat because of my hair. Another person said my dad always called me Girl Bull because I was so bullheaded as a child. Another person said Squatch because I walk like Sasquatch. Another person here said Mo, and I have absolutely no reason why, but they still call me that after 30 years, and that is a lady. One person said, has a couple of them, Hippy Dippy from my uncle's best friend who never called anybody by their name, and Mitch from a guy I worked with when I was 19. One person said Humphrey. I don't have a clue why. They just called me that. A lady named Amanda said, my grandfather called me Jake, who was at a school for fatherless boys, and he gave it to me named after a dear friend who rode the U.S. orphan trains before there was foster care. Another person got the name Pooter. Apparently, I had a poo blanket that I never left. Another person said, my parents called me Peanut. Another person said, my dad calls me Nugget because of my love for chicken nuggets. One person's name is Anna. So what name do you think they got? And a banana, there you go. Another person said they call me Lulu, and it's stuck. Another person has a whole bunch of them, Shell, Sissy, Munch, short for Munchkin. Another person said Gracie because I was always breaking bones. One person said Beggar Dog because I was always begging and asking for something. Another one said my granddad called me Hoghead. I don't know why. And the guys at work call me Squirrel. Another person said, my grandmother called me Lulabelle. Her name is Jamie. Figured that one out. And my dad called me Calamity Jane because I was such a klutz. My dad always called me Fuji because he said I looked Asian when I was born. And a girl named Christine said, my dad called me Charlie because he was hoping for a boy. So we all have nicknames. I just want to ask a question real quick. How many of you have a nickname at some point in your life, have been given some kind of nickname? All right. How many of you have called somebody a nickname before in your life? Okay, so why do we do those things? Well, I think why we do it is because it endears us to people. It's a connection. My nicknames for my friends change depending upon the day. Danny's huffing down here. I mean, I do it just so somebody else will call somebody something. That's just what I do because I'm demented, all right? But we have nicknames, and you don't give nicknames to a stranger. Like, for instance, anybody work in retail? And you ever work in retail and somebody comes up, let's say they buy something and they come across and you say, and it's something really cheap, and you say, what's up, cheapo? You know, nobody does that with people you don't know. We only give nicknames to people we have some sort of relationship with. And so I want to share with you a scripture, one you know very well from the other holiday we celebrate called Christmas that's really big, and it's from Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at this. It says, she, meaning Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name what? Jesus, because he will save people from his sins. So what's his name to be? Okay, very good. But let's go two verses later. What do we say? What does it say here? And the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him? Stop. What was his name two verses ago? What's his name now? They gave him a nickname right before he was even on the scene in birth. The name which means God with us. And I started to wait, why in the world would they have this nickname? Because like I said, nicknames endear you to the person, and they describe the relationship with them. And so, you know, yes, Jesus came to save us from our sins, right? And we focus so much on that. And that is a great and good thing. But one of the things that we need to know is we need to know something that the early people in Christianity, and that many of us need to embrace now, is Emmanuel, that God is with us. So often we have this Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of our sins, but we stop to and forget that he is with us. And so often we think that God is so far removed here, and we forget that he's right here with us. And so what they do, this nickname, God is with us. Yes, he saves our sin, but isn't it good to know that he's right here with us, that God is here? And so many of us know, so many of us have been through a long years of Christianity in knowing Jesus, but I'd say many of us don't stop and recognize he is Emmanuel here with us. John wrote it this way when he started off his scripture, and he said, and this was not poetic at the time. This was horrific for them to hear at the time. But he said this, the Word, the perfect Word of God, became flesh and made its dwelling among us, that God is here with us. And today what I want to focus on is not only Jesus, the Savior of our sins, but I want to focus on his nickname. I want to focus with God with us, Emmanuel. In other words, I want to talk about Jesus, my BFF, my best friend. Because Jesus did not just come to teach on a hillside and give us some of the greatest teachings that even people who aren't believers agree with. Jesus did not just come to heal people. Jesus did not come just to die on a cross and pay for our sins. But he came to be with us. Think about this. Jesus did not start his ministry of the things we celebrate most, his healing, his teaching, and the cross, until he was 30 years old. And when he did that, he only did it for 3 years. So what was he doing 0 to 30? He was living life as a human. He was living. And you say, well, why was he doing that? What was he doing? Well, I believe that when when you're about 12 years old in the Jewish faith, you become a man. You have a bar mitzvah, and guess what you get to do? You get to do manly things like work. How many are you excited about tomorrow at work? Thank God I get to go to work tomorrow. No one, okay. So Jesus understands that. He understands like, oh my gosh, time to go to work. Here we go. Yet, and where did he work? Well, his father, earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. Many people believe, and I've been to Israel. I know Carol has. I know Robin has. How many other people? I know Joe. I saw him here. So several people have been to Israel. There aren't many trees there, just to let you know. There aren't many trees. So many people believe that carpenter actually meant a mason. And so he was a mason. He worked and he had to create things, and he probably did some things with wood, but there's not much of it until you get up north. And so he was working hard in this. And so what was he doing? He was being the God man, as many people say. He experienced life being a person. Matter of fact, we don't hear anything of his miracles until later. Scripture tells us that his first recorded miracle that we know of is the wedding in Cana, when Jesus turned the water into wine. That's when he already had his followers and disciples with him in his 30s. So all that other time, he was working and being a carpenter and a mason. And here's what it says in Hebrews. I love this section of Hebrews chapter 2. It says, that's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest, hold on to that, because what we learn is Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. We're going to talk about that in a second. As God the high priest, to get rid of people's sins, he would have already experienced some of it. No, how much? All of it himself. That he experienced all of it himself. And you say, wait a second, what did he experience, Jack? Because I don't have it recorded. You're right. That's what that 0 to 30 was all about. And here's what he experienced. Look at this, and we have some of it. He experienced all the pain. Anybody expect pain? Experience pain in your life? Physical, emotional, or mental pain? Anybody? All the testing. Have you ever been tested in life? All right. And why did he experience all that stuff? And he would be able to help where help is needed. You see, if you're experiencing something in that wide range of everything in life, you don't have a God that's far removed, that is Jesus, that just saves us from our sins. You have God with us, Emmanuel, who experienced and understands absolutely everything. You know, it's like I've heard when people are going through things, and we heard some people going through some sicknesses and some illnesses. You may have somebody in your family, a loved one that has gone through some form of dementia. And you see them, you see it robbing the person's life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And yet you didn't understand. You could have compassion. If you never experienced that in your family, you may have had somebody, you may have heard about that, and you can have compassion for someone, say, oh, I feel bad for you. But when you have someone that you love dearly, that was a main point in your life, that they begin to start losing that, and you see them losing themselves before you lose them, you can relate to that in a completely different way, can't you? It's the same thing for people who've been through chemotherapy. You can have compassion for somebody if you haven't, but if you've been there, you understand it. Am I right? And so Jesus went through all that stuff, not for himself, but so that he could understand. And as he's sitting next to God the Father, he can say, I understand this. I understand this on their behalf. There are things that I've gone through in my life, whether it be that the miscarriages that Melissa and I went through, or losses of people and tragedies in my life. I don't welcome them. I don't say, yay, I get to suffer. Woohoo. I don't do that. But I can tell you in those experiences of having that, those situations I pre-mentioned, or losing one of my best friends in the whole entire world, that I have an understanding that I would never have had unless I went through that journey myself. And it's made me a better pastor and a better person by going through and being able to relate to people. You ever had a conversation with someone who can't relate to anything you say, but yet someone who has experienced some of the living hell that we go through, they can understand it a lot better. And you know where I'm going with this? I'm not going to beat this dead horse anymore. But what you see is, this is what Jesus did the first 30 years of his life. He experienced it all so he would know. And so there's three things that I believe, three things that Jesus understands about us that I want to share with you today. Number one, Jesus understands our relationship. Anybody ever had pain in a relationship? If you haven't, again, I got a list for you. Here we go. So he has, you know, I'm going to tell you the main reason why Jesus understands relationship. Jesus had a family. And you say, wait, what a second. Let's look here at Mark chapter 6. Look at what it says here in Mark chapter 6. When Jesus is going and he's actually healing people and casting out demons, and here's what happens. People around there were looking and said, wait a second, isn't this the carpenter? Why? Because they remembered him from when he was working in his daddy's shop, or when he was working. They remember him those first 30 years. Has anybody ever, you may be grown and maybe have your own family and whatever, and people still relate to you to when you were a kid? And they may say, I remember when you were just 3 years old and you did this and you skinned your nose, and that's why your name Booger to this day, right? You know what I mean? You know those people that do that? And so they said, isn't that the carpenter's boy? Isn't that the carpenter? And isn't this Mary's son? And look what they say. So it's Mary's boy, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and aren't his sisters here with us? So what we know by this verse is that there's four brothers, and that there's at least two sisters, because there's an S, it's a plural there. And so we have the plural that exists there. So isn't that his siblings? Now, let me ask you, if any of you are a part of a family and have siblings and have parents, there's no problems and everything's wonderful and nobody ever argues, correct? No, do you not think that James was messing with Joseph and Judas was picking at Simon at the table, and they're like, Jesus, oh my gosh, Jesus told on me again. Hey, he wasn't even here. How'd he do that? You know, they might be doing these kind of things, and you think there was any family issues. Yeah, I mean, we don't hear any more from Joseph. Many scholars believe Joseph died. So that, do you think that there's any kind of conflict at all with parents? Of course there were. Of course there were. Do you think that he dealt with family issues? Do you think that he understands being single? Do you think that, scripture says he was tempted at all points? Do you think he understands being betrayed by people he loved? You may say, well, Jack, he wasn't married. He didn't know that. But you know what the scripture does? They go ahead and say that Jesus does have a bride. It's called the church. And he understands what it's like for this church not to love him back in the way he loves us. And so he understands that. In Mark chapter 3, his brothers and sisters came by and they're like, man, Come on. And look what they said. When his family heard about this, again, he's casting out demons. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge about him. You know what they're saying? They're saying, uh-oh, Jesus is at it again. People are starting to look. Oh, man. And they said, why? Because they said he is out of his mind. Anybody have a relative that you say, oh, my gosh, please don't talk in public? Anybody nervous that you have a relative that posts stuff on Facebook? Uh-huh. They're sitting next to you. Just blink. We'll let you go, all right? Yeah, we all have those ones that we are afraid are going to embarrass us. And at this point, they're standing around. They go, oh, my gosh, he's doing what? Let's go get him. Come on. He's out of his mind. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Jesus, I think he's been around, you know, like the fumes in the carpenter shop a little. We'll just go take him home. You don't. We know for a fact that James did not believe it until he saw him after the resurrection. His own brother. Sometimes the people who are closest to you are your worst critics. Am I right? And Jesus dealt with that. He understands relationship. What is the other thing that Jesus understands? He understands life, living in general. He understands every day. He had a job. You know, when I look at, sometimes I like to pull up religious pictures of Jesus. If you want to have fun, go ahead and Google Jesus and hit the images thing. And you'll see that he's like, his little meek and mild Jesus. He was a mason, a carpenter. I feel like Ricky Bobby right now. I picture my Jesus with muscles, you know. I mean, that's like he's all ripped and like ready to go. Because let's say he was a carpenter. I've seen very few carpenters I like, you know. I see them as like ready to go. They're moving, they're lifting, they're hammering, they're doing stuff all kinds of day. And God forbid if they were building stuff like we had to in Haiti with these gigantic rocks. He had to be muscular. I think about some of the people who were there with us, and they just go ahead, pick it up. And I'm going, whoa, what the heck? They were muscular, and they did these things, mixing concrete by their hands. Jesus did not go ahead and hit a mixer. Jesus had to work and make that. And so I believe he was a powerful man. Like, for instance, when he went into the temple and was ticked off that they were making his father's house a den of robbers, he turned over the tables and threw everything there, and people weren't going, oh, run from little Jesus, meek and mild. No, they were scared to death because he was a dude who was coming in like, whoa, let's go. And people were like, I don't want any parts of him. Okay, so we got to get our image of Jesus right. He got up every day. If he was 12 years old when he started this and 30 when he started his ministry, that is 18 years of living life and working. That is 6 times more than his earthly ministry that we celebrate each and every day in our lives. What did he do? You see, Jesus dealt with unpleasant clients at work who came and said, this isn't what I ordered. I want it redone. He dealt with probably a bad economy. He dealt with paying taxes where people were ripping each other off time and time again. He dealt with a crazy government that went with Caesar. Just like you and me, he experienced it all in his life so he can relate to us. And that's why I mentioned earlier where he sits. And look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 4, 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. You see, why I'm spending time on this about who Jesus is at our BFF is because if we view him differently, if we recognize he understands, then we'll think about him differently. If we recognize he understands, then guess what? We can worship him differently. If we recognize that he's not far removed from us, but right here, we can think about him often and spend time with him more often in each and every life. The third thing I want to share with you that Jesus understands, he understands pain. Some here today are here in pain or in the sound of my voice. You're physically in pain, or even worse, you have emotional pain. Let's look at what Jesus went through. We can talk about, I'm sure he had aches and pains as a boy. I always loved the scene in the Passion of the Christ where Jesus is carrying the cross and he falls down and Mary flashes back to him as a little kid hurting. And I know he went through that. But let's look at some of what Isaiah said. It says he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, familiar suffering. I think that that continued not only on the cross, but when he was a boy. You don't think it got around Nazareth? Hey, they say that his mom was pregnant before they got married. Yeah. And they probably had a name for him. They probably shared all kinds of things. They didn't recognize him as two people. That's that carpenter. You know, Mary, you know the situation, right? Joseph's a good guy, but you know the situation. Started there. What does it say? He was despised. Not beloved. Despised. And he was rejected. You know, I'd say there's several people in here that through your life, you have had a situation where people have despised you. One of the hardest things in almost 25 years of ministry is the fact that some of the people that you have poured your life into the most, that at times when you help them, that they feel bad because you know what they've been through and they almost despise you. They despise the fact that you know about who they are and you can't put the thing on, you can't put the face on anymore. I don't care. I'm just one beggar with another beggar trying to find food. We're all in. Church is not about the church of where everybody has it together. It should be a spiritual hospital where we are all broken and we come to the great physician to get healing. So all of us maybe in some level have been despised. But if you haven't been despised, have you ever been rejected? Rejected in your life by people who you thought loved you and cared about you and just kicked you to the curb because maybe, you know, maybe you just didn't fit in their mold for their life, or you weren't smart enough, or you weren't good enough, or, you know, I know this is hard for you to believe, but I don't always fit in the role that people have for a pastor. I don't. When I was with the United Methodist Church, they did musical chairs and sent me to Lewis, Delaware, and some of you know that. And I went there, and the first Sunday I went there, and I purposely did this. I wore like a, remember those dress stretchy t-shirts? I wore that in a nice high church with a nice window of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, which was like, it was him there. You know what I mean? Great people, but that window was like, oh, don't touch it. Anybody been in churches, you know what I mean? And so we were there, and I showed up, and like after about a year there, this one lady, I love her dearly. She came up, and we were actually standing at a graveside at a funeral, and we were talking and kind of joking back and forth about some things after everybody had left. And she said, "I got to tell you something." I said, "What?" "I was talking to so and so. There was this. I remember when I would preach. It was a really high, like up pulpit." So that you can look down upon all the sinners, you know what I mean? And it was up like that, and the people there were great. But I remember there was one lady and her husband that were there that you didn't know whether they liked you or didn't like you or were waiting for you to spontaneously combust, and that's why they're staring at you. You know what I mean? You don't know that. And I remember, and this other lady at the graveside was hilarious, and she was telling me, "I got to tell you about the so-and-so and what she said. When you first came," she said, "I said, so what do you think about our new preacher?" To which this lady said, and she had like the perfect hair, you know what I mean? And she said, "Well, I think he belongs in Millsboro." Now, to this day, I don't know what's in Millsboro, but I don't think it was good on her part. But, you know, I'm kind of like mold. I grow on you. And after about a year, she said, "The reason why I'm telling you this is because she started taking your Bible study on Wednesday mornings." And I said, "So how's Bible study?" And she said, "Oh, he is wonderful. He should be bishop." So somehow, within a year, I went from Millsboro to bishop, and I don't know how. But what it was is because I did not fit her mold of who a pastor should be. And I still don't do that. I had somebody the other week who pulled me out because he didn't like something I said or did in a public place. And I said, "Hey, I've been doing this for 25 years. People are going to believe what they want to believe. I just got to please Jesus." All right? So this is some of the things that happen. There are some people who may despise you and reject you. And if they do, good, because you're in good company with Jesus. Jesus was not somebody who fit in. He was a man of sorrows. He was despised. He was rejected. He suffered. You add to that suffering on the cross. The worst of capital punishment. It's like he and God looked and said, when is the time that I can pick the worst suffering ever? And he said, right there. Well, wait, why don't we do 2019? No, that would be lethal injection. Let's pick crucifixion on a cross so I can suffer more than anybody ever has for them. That's Emmanuel. That's a God who understands. He understands what it's like to be betrayed. One of his close friends, we look at him in a different view, but he was one of his close friends. Judas, just look at this verse really quickly. Judas, are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Are you really going to betray me with a kiss? Isaiah 53:5 says, look at these words. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. In Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced, crushed, punishment. Why? To understand and identify with us. So all this is meant to say this. Jesus meets the test to be your best friend. And I want you to know him this way. So Proverbs 18:24 is prophetic. I believe it's prophetic. And it says this. A man of many companions may come to ruin. If you have many friends... How many of you, if you think you have many friends, how many of you have had some problems with friends? Anybody have problems with friends against friends? Like they're your friends, you're the commonality, but neither one likes each other? Okay, so you may have that. So you're going to have a lot of problems with them. Friends and family are going to let you down at one point. But what does it say? There is a friend who sticks close to their brother, and I believe that's prophetic about Jesus. So this is a great trait that we're going to talk about. Who is Jesus? My BFF. And we're going to rip through this. You ready? Seatbelts fastened. Tray tables up in upright lock position. Here we go. All right. So what do we need to do? What's our response to this? Number one, we need to make Jesus your best friend. To put this in social media status, you need to change your relationship status. Too long, you have had a relationship with Jesus that says it's complicated. You ever seen that where people's relationship status is complicated? All right, we've been there way too long. You need to change that to your best friend. Jesus said in Matthew 17 that he didn't just want us to experience a Sunday God. He wanted to be best friend each day. He continued and says, hey, many people will come and say, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do this? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. We need to get close friends with Jesus. In John 15:15, it says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. You know, he doesn't want chess pieces or puppets. He said, instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So once you make him your BFF, next thing that you got to do is this. You got to talk to him. Talk to him. Here's what I'm going to say. Talk real to God. Talk real to Jesus. I know we've already been told. You know, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great that we teach our kids, now I lay me down to sleep. He's heard that. Just imagine if every time I saw you, I said, hey, June, good morning. You say, hi, Jack. And I'll say, now I lay me down to sleep. You say, oh, well, how's everything? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And you go, okay. If every time I met you, I said the same thing. Or what if, you know, it's great that we have the Lord's Prayer. It's great. But it was never meant to be a prayer. It was meant to be the ideal format or an outline of a prayer that you give God adoration and praise. Man, Daddy, I love you. Okay? And we can use that. I'm not saying it's wrong. But if the only time we're talking to him is, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we do that. And it gets so rote that we don't even know. Imagine if you had this robotic kind of discussion with the person that you love most in your life. It ain't going to be a very deep relationship. I was thinking the other day about, like, social media, texting. Anybody, how many of you have ever texted in your life? How many of you text so much it's ridiculous? Like you're afraid it's going to like grow into you, your text all the time. Or Snapchat or any kind of thing. And sometimes you ever had the conversation, hey, sup? Nothing. What you doing? Nothing. How's today? Cool. What are you doing after work? Nothing. All right, you get what I mean? Anybody had those conversations with people? Now, I do know that there are some people who write books and you go scroll, 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 right? Okay? I was thinking, we do that all the time with people because we are always there. We text without ceasing. You know what I'm saying? Jesus said, I want you to pray without ceasing. We've gotten so conditioned that we say, I can't possibly pray going down the road. We can text now by hitting that button and go, hey, text so-and-so, and you spell it out, and it goes there, and they send some weird word to them, and they go, what are you drinking, right? They do that stuff. But guess what? We can do that and all the time. And that's what Jesus said. Like, nobody says, oh my gosh, I got to call my dad. I can't call my dad today while I'm riding down the road because I've got to keep my eyes shut and I have to be in this closed hand position to call my dad. No, if I want to call my dad, I say, hey, call dad. Boom. Siri goes, boom, boom. Okay, big sexy, I'll call dad. And that's what she says. So I call my father, and when he answers, guess what? My dad knows who's on the other end. And I don't go, my father, who art on the other line of the phone, hallowed be your house. I don't do that. I say, hey, how you doing, dad? He's like, good. What are you doing? Nothing. Okay, you know what I'm saying? We have that relationship, and I can call, and we can text, and it's real short. We need to pray the way we text. We need to pray the way we talk to people. And so we have a real relationship because he's right here with us. And I think sometimes God may be bored with us. See? Little James Brown's here, okay, all right? That's what we need to do. Hebrews chapter 4 says this to us. Remember where Jesus is? He's on the throne, right hand, the God the Father. And here's what it says. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with what? With confidence. We don't have to go, God, hello? No, we go through the conversation. How you doing, God? How you doing, Jesus? I got to tell you something. So that we may receive mercy, grace, and help. See, when we approach the throne with confidence, we get three things. We get mercy. Anybody know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. We get grace. Getting what we do not deserve. And we get help, which we all are in need of. That's why he went through what he did. Because anytime Jack is messing up, which is a lot, he says, man, I go to him, I say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he says, I get it. I understand it. I know I didn't mess up, But Daddy, let me tell you something. I know what he's going through. And so I know what he deserves. But man, look at my hands. Mercy. And I'm going to give him love that he doesn't deserve. And I know what he said and I know what he did. But let's give him that. And he needs help. And that's what I came to do, Daddy. And we're going to find those things. You see, we got to get part of that God is just sitting up there waiting to throw lightning bolts and part us in the head because we don't fit what everybody else says. No, we fit what Jesus said, that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, that I receive what I don't deserve, and that I don't get what I do deserve because I am in need of help. And the only person that could ever help me is my best friend, and his name is Jesus. And when I do all this, what do I need to do? I need to trust him with my life. If this is who he is, if he is Emmanuel, God with me, I need to trust him with every ounce of my life. In that last verse of scripture, as I see this, it says, but to all who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was to what? Trust him to save them. And Psalms, the last verse I'm going to finish with, is commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will what? Help you. Don't you need some help from your best friend? Don't you need some help? Hey, you know how you know you have good friends? They do two things. Number one, when you move and you call them, they come. The other thing is, when they feel like you're not being a good friend, they will call you out. We all need best friends to speak into our lives so we get our stuff together. We need best friends that are there to help us move whatever's in our lives. You have a best friend. His name is Jesus. And he loves you dearly. So much so that, yes, he came and gave his life up for you, but he understands everything you've been going through. Sound good? Let's stand up and let's worship him one more time today. The altar is open. If anybody would like to come pray with someone, feel free to do so.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on the way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around, but never looking up, so double-minded. A blank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, hope in our eyes. The world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, made the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the line for love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. You came, Lord, I was at lost cause, and I was the outcast. You died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet.
And you're good.
'Cause you are good, you are good,
sing it out.
And you're not endures forever. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever.
You are good. You are good. And your love.
You are good,
and your love endures forever.
the end of our pointed fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast. You died for sinners just like me. A grateful leper at your feet.
What an incredible verse to wrap up Jesus, our BFF. Something popped in my head as I'm looking at the line on that in that song, just about the people who Jesus touched that we know of in 3 years. I can't imagine what he did the first 30. The people that he touched and the lives that he changed and just where he is. What about us? It's been said that the church is the only place that kills their wounded. We got to stop that. We got to stop beating each other up because we don't fit the mold of what God thinks. Because the last time I checked, he died for a sinner just like me. And all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. So guess what? Just do what Jesus said. Love one another as I've loved you. That's your best friend. Have a great week. And God bless. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Perfect. Yep. Again.